If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Parents, summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in the Bethel Deliverance International Church Summer Program, Camp Bethel. Camp Bethel features swimming, karate, barbecues, daily meals and snacks, and trips to places including Hershey Park, Camel Beach, and Ellis Island. Enrollment has begun, so don't delay. Call 215-885-2585 for more information, or visit us online at betheldeliverance.org.
See, the devil can paint images. The devil can speak words, but he can't stop you from functioning unless you let him. This man stopped functioning, and he was uncertain as to the ability of God. But if you can do anything, help us. Jesus said, let's eliminate that specter. If you can believe, everything is possible if you can believe. What do you believe? He never gets the opportunity to profess his belief. But when Jesus sees the people running together, you see in verse 25, it's an interesting prayer. Read it. Just look at it. It says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit and said, you dumb and deaf spirit, come out of him. The boy's having epileptic seizures. And Jesus said it's because he can't hear or see. Most of what you're experiencing, hear me, is not what you're experiencing. And the reason why you aren't being delivered is because they're addressing the wrong thing. This is why you shouldn't go to fly-by-nights for counseling. There's a difference between encouragement and legitimate therapy. Most of us don't want legitimate therapy. We want encouragement. We want to sit there for 45 minutes, tell our story, and hear everything's going to be all right. That's called parenting. Therapy gets to the heart of the problem. Therapy addresses not the what, but the why. Jesus rebukes the why. The what was the seizure, but the why was the deaf and dumb spirit. In other words, he couldn't hear and he couldn't speak, and that caused him to convulse. You run into a person that is extremely mean. Remember the story, reach back, grab a file, and remember the story from Greek antiquity about Androcles and the lion. And Androcles is walking, the young man, he's walking, and he hears this fierce roar. And he turns and he sees this lion, and the lion is roaring and looking mean. And as he raises his paw to swat Androcles, Androcles sees there's a thorn in his paw. He reaches and grabs the thorn and pulls it out. And the pain ceases, and the lion is no longer mean. somehow the lion becomes caught by the Romans, and Androcles becomes a prisoner, and they tie him to this stake, and they release the lions, and the lions are charging at these people that are tied to these stakes, and they're going to kill them. But the lion looks, and he sees Androcles, and he refuses to eat him because he did something nice for him. You see, most of the people that we call mean and demon-possessed are really hurting. But there are no spiritual Androcles to pull out that thorn because we're too busy demonizing. You just got a mean spirit. You just got an ungodly spirit. You just nasty. No, I was sexually abused as a child. I was beat every day as a child. My husband beats me. My wife threw hot grease on me. I have been destroyed all my life. No one ever said a kind word to me. I've never had a positive relationship in my life. I've lived on the street for 30 years of my 40 years, and I don't even know what it means to be loved. And so what you are getting is the sum total of all of that abuse. But you say, God showed me you got a demon. No, God ain't showing you my demon when I got a thorn in my paw. But unfortunately, I don't know how to get deliverance. I don't know how to reach out. I don't know how to get through this dark season in my life. I don't know how to press towards the light because no one has enough faith in God and in me to develop. Jesus does. And the Bible said we're supposed to be like him. See, faith isn't all about raising the dead and pulling people out of wheelchairs. It's also about helping the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me first to Caruso, to proclaim. Secondly, he to euangelion, to go out and tell others about Christ and to release those that are in captivity and bring healing to the wounded hearts. When people are broken and in despair, this is where they come, to find a bunch of people, not self-righteous, pharisaical people, but people who are healed and coming through their dilemma with love, compassion, and an ability to reach and help you stand. This is where I come for deliverance. This is where I come for compassion. This is where I come for understanding. Don't demonize me because I got saved yesterday at 7 o'clock and all I have are hoochie clothes. Don't demonize me when I wear those clothes to church. Don't demonize me. Take me down the street and buy me something else. Tell me that now you're a new creature. We're going to show you how to dress. Don't drive me out. Bring me in. Take me to your house and give me some of your clothes. Love me through it. You know those dresses that are in the back of the closet that you are never going to wear again? Give them to me. Why? Because faith says you're going to make it. And James said, without works, there is no faith. So I'm going to help you make it. Faith is practical. Faith is not deep and theological. Watch this. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what you don't see. I always clap when I say that because that's my way of rejoicing. God didn't say he was going to remove your struggle. I'm struggling just as much as you are. The difference between you and I is I refuse to let it keep me down. I'm not going to give up. Listen, I told you before, my daughter and I like movies. And when we were able to go to the movies together and we would watch movies, we'd look at each other and we would comment on the plot. We would say it's too slow or it's boring or whatever. But I joked with her one day. I said, Shanina, you ever notice we never left? Because we always wanted to see how it turned out. Now, if I sat through Dances with Wolves just to see him eventually leave the tribe, I'm thinking he going to stay and fight off the intruder, and he wind up leaving the tribe. Sure enough, I can hang in there with God to see how this thing's going to turn out, because he's promised me victory. He said, no weapon formed against me is prospering. He said, every tongue that speaks against me, I'm going to condemn it, not verbally, but by my lifestyle. So when people say you aren't going to make it, don't argue back. Just stay focused on the word. Come out of the situation by your living testimony. Show them that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. My God! He says in verse 2, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. How many of you want a good report? You know what's missing here? It says the elders obtained a good report. But what's missing? What kind of report? A good report. But what was the report about? The writer leaves it to you to guess, because he then begins to list the people who have good reports. When you read through the entire 11th chapter of Hebrews, only one thing comes to your mind, and that, if you're honest, and that one thing will be, these people did something with their belief, comma, but they were called to do something that they couldn't do. Lord, I'm trying to hold back my shout. I'm about to bring Miles up here and dance. I'm so glad it's you that I'm giving this to. God does not give you hard tests unless he expects you to win. Watch this. Now, I'm talking to good parents now, not just people that had babies. You ever give your son or your daughter groceries to carry? Like, coming back from the supermarket, you ever say, grab that bag and bring it in the house? Anybody ever do that? All right, which one of you leaves the heavy bag for your young child and takes the light one? You ain't no good parent. Now, I'm talking about a little child. I ain't talking about some 14 or 15-year-old. You know that child wants to help. You know that child says, can I help you carry a bag? You may reach in and take some of the other stuff out and put it in your bag. And you say, all right, carry that one in the house. And all that's in there is bread and milk. And they feel like they've done the greatest thing. Well, that's how God is. He knows you want to do something. So he takes out those heavy things. And what he leaves you, you can carry, because you've got a promise where he said he will give you no more. Somebody ought to rejoice. Man, I'm about ready to take off. He will give you no more. So when I lay there assessing my situation, evaluating my position, and the devil comes in to try to tell me that this is too much, I say, back off, you lying rascal, for this is something that I can carry. And now God is giving me proof that he's with me, because this light affliction, which is not worthy to be compared to the glory that is going to come out of this negative situation, if I can hold on by faith. Hold on by faith. Y'all ain't getting me. Sit down, sit down, sit down. I'm going to finish this. Y'all ain't getting me. Y'all ain't getting me. I take my boys, Darius and Malik will go with me. In the summertime, we go to Disney and Universal. Now, Universal has more roller coasters, steel roller coasters. And when we go in, we always start at the Islands of Adventure. So we go over to the Islands of Adventure. And I remember the first time we went over there, they had this ride called the Hulk. And it's a crazy roller coaster. You literally pull about 7 negative Gs. That means you're pulling against gravity. And so Darius and Malik are young teenagers who have no fear. So he says, come on, Dad, let's get on it. Now, I don't want to show them that I'm scared. You know, I got on my Marine shirt. I ain't gonna say, God. So the person that's with us, the guide that's with us, he says, now you can ride the front or the back. He says, or, you know, you can do both because I'm with you. We'll get on both. And so I say to the boys, oh, where y'all want to go? And he said, and they said, we want to go in the front. So I said, well, let's go in the back. And the guy says, well, sir, the back, you pull more, you know, negative G's in the back because you're really in the front. You're running into it. But in the back, it's, I said, all right, let's get in the front. So I'm trying to think about this, and I see this thing, it goes from 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds. I kid you not. It's catapulted off like a plane on an aircraft carrier. And so we're sitting there, and they strap you in, and the boys are like, hey, hey. And I'm sitting there holding this thing, speaking in 4 tongues. I'm calling God, Mary, Joseph, Gabriel, Michael, Daniel. I took a shot at Jonah. I was calling everybody. I memorized Hosea 2:2. I was calling, and we hadn't even taken off. Guy comes over and he tests my harness and he sees I'm all locked in and he says, he gives the thumbs up to the person operating it. And I'm like, God, I wish something was wrong. So they wouldn't give the thumbs up. He gives the thumbs up and thing just blows out of the lot. My head is back against the thing, and out of my peripheral vision, I'm looking over at Darius and Malik, and they're like this. Didn't even take their hats off. And I'm holding on. I got the white knuckle syndrome. I said, there ain't no way I'm going to make this. My mind is working just as fast as this roll. Because I said, there ain't no way it's going to make it. I'm not going to make this. I'm not going to make this. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Then it comes to me. Act like you're having fun. Now, I'm processing all this while this thing is entering into its first 360 turn. I said, how do you act like you're having fun? Then it came to me. It was, what is everybody else doing? So I said, scream. And so I started screaming. And then I went from screaming to acting like I was a pilot in an F-14. I was shooting down MiGs. All of a sudden, my perspective changed. When the ride came back into the barn, I said, let's get on again. They looked at me and said, what? I said, let's get on again. Why? Because I had conquered. Y'all ain't hearing me. What caused me to have anxiety at first has been replaced by me projecting myself into another situation. You are not in a losing situation. Turn that thing around. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is telling you what everybody else did. So when you're in a negative situation, go to Hebrews 11 and see what everybody else did. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down when God told them to shout. By faith, Noah built an ark when nobody thought he could. By faith, Enoch walked with God. My brothers and sisters, by faith, whatever you're going through can be defeated. If you put yourself into another kingdom and believe that your God is able to do exceeding and abundantly. They took me over to dueling dragons. I was delivered from the Hulk with a mighty hand. We went to dueling dragons. Dueling dragons didn't have all the twists and turns of the Hulk. It only had one 360. So I can handle one. But what dueling dragons had that I didn't know? And the boys didn't know, but as teenagers, you don't care. Was that when it comes out of the 360 inversion, you go head to head with another coaster. And just as you're about to kick the person, it breaks off into another turn. And the boy said, "Let's sit up front, Dad." Well, I couldn't show them that I was afraid. I had my Marine shirt on. I sat up front. I looked and saw the other coaster. I said, "Well, it shouldn't be so bad." Sat in the front, and I noticed that everybody that was in that front line were teenagers. Brain starts to work. I said, "Now, teenagers don't have no sense. And they're up in the front corral. They're getting in the front. No, this doesn't make any sense." And then I asked the question, "What are you doing sitting up here?" And I said, "I'm with them." So they put me in the middle. And they each sat on either side of me. And I had to scream to fake it. Because when we made that turn and came out head to head, and that coaster's barreling in at me right before it breaks off, they're sitting there going, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." I'm sitting there going, "Jesus, my lily of the valley, my bright and morning star, Jesus." Jesus looked over and said, "Is that Bartimaeus?" Somebody else said, "No, that's Eric." "Jesus!" And as I got the last Jesus out, it went off in the other direction. We came in for the landing. I got off that thing. Sister Lambert was waiting over in the swap section where the parents wait for the kid. I wasn't about to let her know how I was feeling. So I put my arms on the boys like we was walking out together. Little did they know, they were bracing me. But I didn't want her to know. But Darius said something to me when we walked out that door. Stomach churning, knees knocking, sweat coming off my face, wanting to go back to my hotel. Darius said, "You did it, Dad. Out of the mouths of babes, thou hast perfected praise." So every one of you in here, when you hit that situation that's seemingly out of control, you now have something called a testimony. It's God's way of saying, "You did it. You did it." Don't let the devil tell you that you're a loser. Don't let him tell you that you're a quitter. You did it. You went through. Yes, you may have gone through with the help of others, but you came out of it. You did it. Tell somebody, "We did it." The devil thought you were going to give up when you got laid off, but you became more faithful. He thought you were going to quit when your medical diagnosis was bad, but you prayed harder until that diagnosis became better. He thought you were going to stop because nobody loved you, but you began to lean on Romans 8 and realize nothing can separate you from the love of God. You did it! You did it! Now, having conquered the two fiercest roller coasters in Universal, nothing is impossible. You did it by faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. God tries to build your faith so you can learn to live without going to the disciples. God is trying to build your faith so that you know immediately go to Jesus. If you can't get to Pastor Lambert, you can always get to Jesus. If Pastor can't lay his hands on you, Jesus already laid his hand on you. If Pastor don't call you when you're in the hospital, Jesus is standing there with you in the hospital. Don't get angry and leave the church. Nobody cares about me. Jesus cares about you. He's right there with you. When you go through the fire, I'll be with you. When you pass through the flood, the waters will not overtake you. For I, the Lord, I am your God. I am your deliverer. I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of bondage. Nothing can keep you down. I am with you always, even until the end of this age. Do you believe that? Watch this, and I'm going to quit. But when you look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 24 through 32 tells us the story about Jesus going out to walk on the water. And when the disciples saw him in verse 26, they were troubled because they thought it was a ghost. They were not crying because they thought they saw a ghost. Many of us see ghosts all the time. They're really spirits. But for a fisherman, for a sailor, seeing ghosts is a sign that you're going to die. It was part of the folklore. You know, like you say, my hand is itching, so I'm going to get some money. Or someone will say, I dreamed about Aunt Susie last night, and that means somebody gonna die. Because, you know, you always see Aunt Susie. Don't tell me when you see Aunt Susie. I don't want to know. Tell me when you see Uncle Joe. When you see Uncle Joe, that means something good gonna happen. But you know how we are. We have these little, you know, just superstitions, if you will. And so they scream out. And Jesus responds to the fear, and he says, be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid. And that word afraid there is not like just don't be startled, it's don't give in. Don't give in to that fear that causes you to imagine the worst. Somebody's in the house, y'all go upstairs, lock the door, don't open it for nobody. That fear that's irrational. He said, don't be afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you on the water. And when he said, Jesus said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship, walks on the water to go to Jesus. But verse 30 is the key verse that talks about how you respond to your fear. The King James says, but when he saw the wind was boisterous. It's interesting here because that noun, boisterous, doesn't speak to just, out of control. But really, the better definition would be the wind was metaphorically speaking to him. It says he saw the wind boisterous. The wind could not be boisterous, but it made the waves boisterous. The wind kicking up the waves was sending the message that you should not be on this water. In other words, your situation that surrounds you becomes boisterous and begins to speak to you. And boisterous here gives the impression that you're listening to other voices that challenge your faith. I told you about my boisterous situation, telling me about my kidneys, but there was nothing wrong with them. But there was boisterous wind. Some of you have those boisterous winds when someone looks in your direction. They looking at me. Why are people looking at you? You getting all bent out of shape. Why are you staring? Why not? You took great effort to look good. Look at you, your color. Come up here and look at yourselves. You're color coordinated. You look good. So if somebody's staring, just. Show them. Don't get all taken aback. Okay. Why y'all staring at me? Don't get frustrated. Boisterous Winds come to shake your faith. And the first question the boisterous wind brings is, why is God allowing this to happen? Now I'm going to tell you why God lets that wind come. It may surprise you. It may frustrate you. Some, it may even anger. But God lets that first boisterous wind come that says, why is God allowing this to happen? To break your old traditional value and belief that God doesn't work through negative things. This Bible is filled with stories of God causing his people to go through the most adverse circumstances only to show them how great he is. There are some things in your life that will only leave by death. I wish I could go into this. Our Lord Jesus himself says, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, he said it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth fruit. One kernel of wheat produces a stalk. And you see how big a stalk is. And then on each ear, there are hundreds of kernels. So what Jesus is saying is, when you are willing to die to yourself, die to your flesh, and believe that the negative thing that you're going through is going to bring life to somebody else, and stop thinking about you because it's not about you. Oh, saints of God, I know this is going to frustrate somebody, but I'm going to speak your deliverance. When you realize that your negative circumstance is going to bring life to somebody else, stop your whining and build yourself up on your holy faith. You ask God for a ministry that touches people. You ask God for a life that reaches the lost. Well, you're going to have to go through something. You may have to lose a loved one. And I know it doesn't sound fair, but God ain't in the fair. He's in the faith. God took my mama home. I went home that night. I knelt in my living room. I said, why did you do it? He said, you called me to this ministry and took my support. I said, you already took my father. You took my daddy. Now you're taking my mama, and I don't like it. I said, I prayed that you don't take my mama. When I was through fussing, he said, it wasn't between you and me. See, you got to get off yourself. He said, it was between her and me, and she wanted to come home. There are times God don't listen to you, but your faith says he hears what he needs to hear. You pray and say, Lord, let me keep my job. Everybody else getting laid off. Lord, let me keep my job. God said, no, let me lay you off. Lord, let me keep my job. Let me keep my job. God said, no, let me lay you off. Lord, let me keep my job. All right, fine, keep your job. Keep your job. Then 2 weeks later, the factory closes. They go bankrupt. Now you don't get your pension or nothing else. If they had laid you off, you would have had to get your pension. Because you think you know more than God. Lord, I don't know why you don't put somebody in my life. That's the one I want right there. Give them to me. God said, please, no, don't, no. To take that one over there with the Coke bottle glasses and the high water britches. God, I don't want that one. No, Lord, I want that one right there. I want the pretty Ricky, Lord. I want the pretty Ricky. God said, no, take the Pee Wee Herman. Nope. I want the pretty Ricky. I want the pretty Ricky. God, hallelujah. Give me the pretty Ricky. God does with you the same. He's the children of Israel. Take the pretty Ricky. 6 months later, Ricky laying up on the sofa. Don't want a job, can't get a job, just going to sit there and let the woman take care of him. God said, that's who you asked for, the lazy, good-looking one who spends more money on his hair than you do. You go to God and say, God, what happened to Pee Wee Herman? Then you go for a job one day. You walk into the human resource office. They have a picture of the founder and the president and the CEO of the company, who not only owns your company, but three others. He's in Forbes, Fortune magazine. He's listed as one of the richest people in the country. You take a look at the picture and say, oh my God, and he liked me. And God said, I told you. He went and got laser surgery. He don't need his Coke glasses no more. He went out and got tailor-made suits. His britches are fitting him right. He took speech lessons, acting lessons, dancing lessons. He looked good. And you could have had him. That's what they say about me at my high school reunion. Marsha sat next to me and said, I said, all you want. What you got, gas? But let me take you back to the day in May when we were getting on the Broad Street subway to come home. And you said, Eric, I don't want to be with you no more. You said, because you don't play on the football team. And you don't play on the basketball team. And I don't want to be with you no more. Okay, Marsha. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a DVD of my broadcast. See if you find anybody from the football team on the television. Never, never go by the package. When Samuel went to anoint the next king of Israel, he looked at the package. He said, surely that buff one with the big muscles, that's the king. God said, it ain't him. He said, surely that one over there with the wavy hair, that's the king. God said, no, it ain't him. All of them marched out. Samuel said, now hold on 1 minute. Something wrong here. You wouldn't have sent me down here if you didn't have the king on your mind. When they went to sit down, Samuel said to Jesse, we ain't eating until you bring all your boys out. Jesse said, oh, I got one other. It's terrible to be the forgotten one. He said, I got one more. He said, but there's something wrong with him. He's out there with the sheep playing a harp, and he's fair-skinned, and we think there's something wrong with him. He said, bring him in here, let me see him. When he walked in, the anointing fell. God said, that's the man. The devil's gonna tell you that because of what you're going through, you are not God's anointed. But I'm telling you today, but it's because what you're going through that you are God's anointed. You might not look like the world wants you to look, but you are not to be like the world by faith. Don't you let the boisterous winds tell you that you are not what God said you are. Lift up your head, square your shoulders. My mother hated seeing me walk around with my head down. She said, hold your head up, boy, you a Lambert. You better hold that head up. I don't care how low the devil beats you, you're not at the bottom. You're still one word away from the bottom. And that word is greater is he that's in me. And if you just keep reciting greater is he that's in me, it'll give you the strength you need to go to the next level. When you tell the devil no weapon that you formed against me is going to prosper. When you tell him that by his stripes I am healed, and this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to come out of me. When you tell him Jesus said he never leave me nor forsake me. When you tell him that nobody's going to pluck me out of God's hands. When you tell him many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers me out of all of them. And if you can't tell yourself, then get somebody to tell it to you. Say, excuse me, brother, I'm feeling a little low today. You got a word? Let them build you up. The Bible said, exhort one another. Lord, have mercy. Do I have any exhorters in the house? If you are an exhorter, you know the only reason that you can exhort is because you went through a hell yourself. You are telling people that if God brought me out, he'll bring you out. If God delivered me, he'll deliver you. If God stood by me, he'll stand by you. You can't exhort unless you've been through. Yes. I don't know how you can hear this word and not dance. I ain't talking about that running Pentecostal hopping. I mean a dance of victory. See, that's what I miss about our culture. Because I got to stop now. But listen. Because we've been so culturalized by the Western world, we lost our dance. See, if we are of African descent, our people danced. They did those tribal dances. They did dances for everything. We ain't came to America, we don't dance anymore. The Greeks danced, they danced. Then they come to that part and slap their heel, opa! An opa is a celebration. The Sicilians do a tarantella. They dance. The Israelites, they dance. They grab each other by the hand and they dance while they sing the song. Oh, they sing. And that's the song from Psalms, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We just come to church and we don't dance. We can hear Revelation and just sit there like bumps on logs. Yeah. Let me tell you, the philosophy of the dance, it is legitimate. It is psychological. It is real. The philosophy of the dance is that when something happens that illuminates your mind, the dance tampers it down in your spirit and makes it real to you. That's why the Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's why when they went around Jericho on the seventh time, they were told to shout, because it brings the revelation of what God gave you into your vision. Shout, for the Lord has given us the city. People say it don't take all that. Well, let me tell you this. The people who tell you that it doesn't take all that are those who haven't been through anything. But if you've come through something, look. You tell a five-year-old. You tell that five-year-old who smells the chocolate chip cookies bacon. You tell that five-year-old who watches you take them out of the oven. You tell that five-year-old in about 5 minutes they'll be cool and I'm going to give you two. Watch them dance. I'm going to get some cookies. I'm going to get some cookies. And you have to tell them, sit down, stop that. I'm going to get some cookies. Lord have mercy. You walked in here burdened. You walked in here depressed. You walked in here maybe needing a physical healing. You've been smelling the anointing from the time the praise team stood up. You saw the baked word of God come out of the oven of the Holy Ghost. I sliced it up, toasted it, buttered it, served it. You ought to be dancing. I'm going to get some bread. I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get my deliverance. I'm going to get my blessing. Yeah!
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 04415A. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60. Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.